They were all astir before sunrise. While Louisa supervised the preparation of a celebratory breakfast to welcome Mansur to the lager, Mansur was at Zama's bedside. Jim joined them, and all three chatted and reminisced. Zama was so much encouraged by Mansur's arrival that he declared he was ready to leave his sickbed. Small Boy and Muntu inspanned the wagons, and the caravan moved off. Louisa relinquished care of Zama to Intepi, and for the first time since Zama's wounding, she saddled Trueheart and rode out with Jim and Mansur. They passed through the herds of cattle, and Mansur was amazed by their numbers and by the weight of the ivory they carried on the pack saddles strapped to their backs. "Even though Uncle Tom and my father were able to escape from the colony with much of the family wealth, you have multiplied it many times over with what you have captured. Tell me how it happened. Tell me of the battle against the Singuni Queen, Manatasi, and her legions." "I described it to you last night," Jim protested. "Oh, it's too good a tale to be told only once," Mansur insisted. "Tell it to me again." This time, Jim embellished Louisa's role in the fighting, despite her protests that he was exaggerating. "I warn you, cuz, you must not anger this lady. She is a veritable Valkyrie once she is aroused. She is not feared far and wide as the dreaded hedgehog for no good reason." They rode to the crest of the next hill and looked down towards the ocean. It was so close that they could just make out the windswept white horses that danced on the horizon. "How far are we from Nativity Bay?" Jim demanded. "It took me less than 3 days on foot," Mansur answered. "Now that I have this good horse under me, I could be there before nightfall." Jim looked at Louisa with a wistful air, and she smiled. "I know what you are thinking, James Archibald," she said. "And what do you think about what I am thinking, Hedgehog?" "I think we should leave Zama, the wagons, and the cattle to come on at their best speed, and that we should eat the wind." Jim let out a happy shout. "Follow me, my love. This way for Nativity Bay." It took less time than Mansur had predicted, and the sun was still above the horizon when they reined in on the hills above the wide, glittering bay. The two schooners were anchored off the mouth of the Umbilo River, and Jim shaded his eyes with his hat against the sun's reflection off the water. "Fort Auspice," Mansur told them, and pointed out the newly erected buildings on the banks of the river. "Your mother chose the name. She wanted to call it Fort Good Auspice, but Uncle Tom said, 'That's a mouthful, and we all know that it ain't a bad auspice, any which way you look at it.' So that was that, Fort Auspice." As they rode closer, they were able to make out the palisade of sharpened stakes that enclosed the high ground on which the fort was set. The earth was still raw around the gun emplacements that covered all the approaches to the fortifications. "Our fathers have taken every precaution against attack by Kesa or other enemies. We've brought ashore most of the guns off the ships," Mansur explained. The roofs of the buildings it enclosed showed above the top of the palisade. "There are barracks for the servants, and each of our families have their own quarters," Mansur pointed them out as they trotted down the hill. "Those are the stables, that is the warehouse, and there are the go-down and the counting-house." All the roofs were still bright and unweathered with new-cut thatch. "Father has the delusions of Nero," Jim chuckled. "He has built himself a city, not a trading post." "Aunt Sarah did little to dissuade him," Mansur said. "In fact, you could say she was an active accomplice." He snatched off his hat and waved it over his head. "And there she is now!" A matronly figure had appeared in the gateway of the fort and was staring across at the little band of approaching riders. As soon as Jim waved, she threw all dignity to the winds and came running down the path like a schoolgirl released from the classroom. "Jim! Oh, Jim boy!" Her joyous cries echoed off the cliffs of the bluff. Jim set Drumfire into a wild gallop to meet her. He jumped from the saddle while the stallion was still at full charge and gathered his mother into his arms. When they heard Drumfire's hooves, Dorian and Tom Courtney came running out through the gates of the fort. Mansur and Louisa hung back to let the first frenzy of greeting abate. It took another 5 days for the wagons and cattle to reach Fort Auspice. The entire family stood together on the firing platform of the palisade. The herd of spare horses led the way, and Tom and Dorian cheered as they galloped past. "It'll be good to have a horse under me again," Tom exulted. "I felt that half of me was missing for lack of a good mount. Now we'll be able to range through this land and claim it as our own." Then they gazed in awed silence as the dark mass of the cattle herds poured down the hills towards them. When Inkunzi and his Inguni herders began to offload the ivory on the open parade in front of the gates, Tom climbed down the ladder from the platform and walked among the tall stacks of tusks, marvelling at the quantity and size of some of them. Then he came back and scowled at Jim. "For the love of all that's holy, lad, have you no sense of moderation? Did you not give a thought to where we were going to store all this? We shall have to build another warehouse, and you are solely to blame." Tom's scowl faded, and he laughed at his own wit, then folded his son in a bear hug. "After this haul, I think we will have no choice but to declare you a full partner in the company."